It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go.
Ready.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
What do you want me to be? Sister. Here are the choices. This guy. Jeff, how are you? You look good today. Did you trim your eyebrows?
I like.
Jeff Lutz.
It's not really about sense of humor. It's about whether I want to humor you. Do I? Not really.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting, Max Power Producing Engineering. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. Max, it is...
time to play the game.
Time to play the game here on our show. What is the game?
Max versus Bob is the game. We have song lyrics from number one hits.
One of my worst categories.
From number one hits of the 1970s.
Hey, now.
Max will probably kill me in this one.
Yeah.
Good luck, Max.
I can't remember Bob when I started to forget, but it is 40-something, 50 years ago. So maybe
This will be awful.
I didn't think these were terribly difficult, but let's see. Max, do you want to go first or second as reigning champ?
How am I? I'll go second.
You're not. Okay. Bob, your lyrics. I don't need your war machines.
I don't need your ghetto
scenes. I don't need your ghetto scenes. What song is that from?
Hypnotize, sparkle someone else's eye. Now, woman. American Woman.
You want to give us the artist? For another
guess who?
For another point? Yeah. You have 2 points. I just made up that extra point thing.
Not bad. Max, would you have gotten that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, on RCA, no less.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Here's Max's
easy.
First lyric. Yeah, some of them are easy, some of them may not be. The radio is blasting. Someone's knocking at the door. I'm looking at my girlfriend. She's passed out on the floor.
Which one you want? You want the originals, Randy Newman, or Three Dog Night? Three Dog Night.
What's the song?
Mama told me not to come.
Yes, that's correct.
How much extra do I get for the record label?
This is I'm driving okay now.
On ABC,
I just left my driveway. I'm doing fine, but I'm in trouble. I'm going to crash here, and it's not going to be pretty.
No,
I can already feel it. Go.
We know all these songs, Bob. We know all these songs. We're old.
I may know them, but I'm not going to go.
Soon we'll be married and raise a family. A cozy little home out in the country with 2 children, maybe 3.
I have no idea who sang that song.
One of my all-time favorite songs. You have nothing?
Soon
we'll be married and raise a family. A cozy.
Sing it.
No, I don't sing it.
Give me a little beat to it, a rhythm.
Soon we'll be married and raise a family. A cozy
crash was coming.
With 2 children, maybe 3.
Who
Max, do you know?
I keep thinking of Our House, but that's not it.
It's not. You guys, you need to branch out in genres occasionally.
No.
This was Just My Imagination by the Temptations.
Oh, jeez, man.
I should have known that. Even the Stones.
You should have.
The Stones covered.
I told
you. The Stones covered that on some girls too, and I have a lot.
I can't.
Of
I'm. Go. I will never recover from this game.
Max, they'll hurt you and desert you and take your soul if you let them. Oh, but don't you let them.
Oh God.
Don't you let them. Oh, I know the song.
You should.
I know the song.
5 seconds.
Oh, God. This is all. See, Bob, I know it.
That's
I just
terrible,
can't remember.
Max.
Yeah, I know.
Would you like to steal?
No, I'm not doing it.
You're not going to steal?
Steal it, Bob.
I didn't know you could steal.
Well, you can.
They'll hurt you. Say it again.
They'll hurt you and desert you and take your soul if you let them.
Oh, yeah, but don't you let them.
5 seconds.
You just call my name. You got a friend, James Taylor. That's the steal.
That's correct. Back to Bob for this one.
Oh, baby, Max.
Yeah, I told you.
I suppose I could collect my back. Sorry, I'll start over. I suppose I could collect my books and get on back to school or steal my daddy's
Maggie May, Rod Stewart.
And make a living out of playing pool. That's correct. Max.
Hello.
Now the halftime air.
With Sweeper American with Pie by perfume. Don McLean on United
yeah,
Artists.
Yeah, that one's easy. That one's very
good
easy.
Grief.
Get extra for the
here's
label.
One that I don't know that either of you will get. Well, I hear you went up to Saratoga and your horse naturally won.
Oh, easy.
Then you flew your Learjet up to Nova Scotia.
Carly Simon.
To see the total eclipse of the sun.
Yeah, Carly Simon.
Song?
With Mick on
so
back.
Yes, that's correct.
With Mick on back.
Shut up, Max. Quit trying to distract me.
No, you had
when
it.
When it's my turn, just let me flail away.
Just let him.
Max.
Max, your turn. He's got a custom Continental. He got an Eldorado, too. He got a 32 gun in his pocket for
Jim
fun.
Jim Croce.
He got a razor in his shoe.
Jim Croce, bad, bad Leroy Brown.
So easy.
Yeah, that's correct. Are these that easy?
On ABC
that was.
Dunhill.
What's the score? Update the score.
You're ahead,
it's 8-6. You're leading. Now, these fine ladies, they had a plan.
They was out to meet the boys in the band. They said, come on, Lutz. That is Grand Funk American Band.
Do I give it to him?
Yes.
We're an American
Band. Yeah, that, sure.
Friend of the show. Did we,
man, these are way too easy.
You had Don Brewer on a few times, Bob, didn't you?
We have.
Yeah.
Max, something in the wind has learned my name, and it's telling me that things are not the same.
Tough one, Max.
Maybe.
No, that's a tough one.
That's, I know the song. It's like James.
You have 5 seconds.
It won't come
five.
To me right now.
He's done,
I
Jeff.
It,
don't rub it in.
All right.
Well, the timer.
I don't know that one.
The timer continues.
What
that was
it?
Top of the World by the Carpenters.
Yeah. Probably had that 45,
top
too.
Top of the world looking.
Down on creation.
Down on creation.
Okay, next. Well. The night was falling as the desert world began to settle down. In the town, they're searching for us everywhere, but we never will be found.
I know that one, but I can't think of it. And I won't think of it. What is it? Max, you want to steal?
Max can steal.
Band on the Run.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
So easy.
Artist.
Paul McCartney and Wings.
I'm done. It's time for what's
it's 10-8, and it's Max's turn.
No, it's 12-8.
It's 10-8.
Go, Max.
Here, I have to give this one to Max because I can't give it to Bob. I'm going back in time. And it's a sweet dream. It was a quiet night, and I would be all right if I could go on sleeping.
Oh, my God.
The Eagles.
Yes. Song?
You
best
gave
of,
it away
best
when
of
you
my
said
love.
I can't give it to Bob.
What is it?
Best of My Love.
Yeah, why couldn't correct. You give it to me?
Because you could get it easily.
On Asylum. I know the record labels. That's what's really sad.
Well, I don't give points for those. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers that grow so incredibly high.
I've never wanted to get out of something more than I want to get out of this.
Why?
Because I don't like it. I don't like it. I told you at the very beginning.
You're going to kill yourself, Bob.
That it wouldn't go well.
Yeah,
sing it for me.
No, I'm not going to sing it for you.
Sing a little rhythm for me.
Everyone smiles as you drift past the flower. I don't know if I'm giving that to you, though.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds by the Beatles.
You don't get that.
Oh, no, give it to me.
You don't get
That's
it.
That's wrong.
Give it to me, no, Max.
Can't. It's Elton John with Dr. Winston O'Boogie.
I'm going Beatles.
He's from the 70s. They didn't come out in the 70s.
Give me two.
I'm not giving you any.
Give Bob another one, then. Because it was Elton John's hit number one
left.
In the 70s.
All right, Max, this is you, or do you want it to go to Bob?
Give it to Bob.
All right. Well, you're digging your own grave. Well,
did
if
that
it
one
rains,
count
I don't care. I'm going to Bob.
All right.
Well, if it rains, I don't care. Don't make no difference to me. Just take that streetcar that's going uptown.
Rains, I don't care. Don't make no difference to me. Just take that streetcar that's going to town. Doobie Brothers.
It's not that fast.
That streetcar.
Well, if it rains, I don't care. Don't make no difference to me.
Blackwater from the Doobie Brothers.
There you go.
Can't give him the Beatle one, though, because it was Elton John's hit number one in the 70s.
Well, I didn't give him any points, but you told me to go back to him, so now you're going to lose.
Oh, well.
I only got two left.
I give Max one of them.
I am. Max. Hey, kids, shake it loose together. The spotlight's hitting something
Benny
that's
the
been
Jets.
Known to change the weather.
Benny and the Jets.
Easy.
Elton.
By?
Elton.
Yes, it's 12-12. This one will determine our winner.
What is it?
One day up near Salinas, Lord, I let him slip away. He's looking for that home, and I hope he finds it. But I'd trade all of my tomorrows for one single yesterday.
I should know
One
that.
Of my favorite lyrics ever. That one.
Looks like Max is going to get
it
this.
For me.
I don't
give
think
me
I
a little,
know how.
Bad in
give me a little bit of
There's
rope.
Not much rhythm to the song.
I don't know. Max, you win.
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
Oh, Janis Joplin.
Well, Max gets it.
Why? No.
And Max wins.
Here's right. Chris Christopherson wrote that. That's one of my favorite lines, that in you can't please everyone, you got to please yourself.
I hated that game.
You didn't like that one?
I liked
Not
that
really.
Game.
I thought it'd go
you know,
longer.
No, I'm just being honest.
I guess
with
I
you.
Needed more songs to go to.
Just being real.
It is
didn't,
what it
didn't
is.
Didn't care for the game that
well,
much.
Well, I'm really sorry.
But congratulations to Max. Who
no, you won.
Max basically
or did
won.
I win?
You won.
I think Max won.
No, Bob won. Either that or was it tie?
I gave you the answer to the last one.
All right, thanks, Max. So tomorrow on the show, we have Jim Ed Norman.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Nobody knows him.
Well, who cares? He's got
stories. He has been one of Don Henley's guys for his entire life. They grew up together, and he'll join us at 2:25. And it will be interesting to talk to Jim Ed Norman, who's a guy I've known about for most of my life. And then also tomorrow on the show, comedian Derek Stroop. Do you know him?
I'm not sure that I do.
Really? Thought you were up to date in the comedy world.
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I can't for sure say that he's a... Maybe. I don't know. I may have seen him on Reels. That'd be my guess if I have seen him.
Well, that's, I would hope that you've paid attention enough.
What do I need to pay attention to? I'm doing the best that I can.
Well, I thought...
When is he on?
He's on tomorrow.
At when?
2:45.
Oh, better go to Jim Ed early. I want some of those stories, man.
No guest is worth extra time except Bernie McLean.
Oh, really? You'd rather know more about the Cardinals than about Don Henley. That's insane.
No, I don't mind hearing more about Don Henley. At one point in my life, I would have wanted everything. But we all get older. And
well, he's not going to write a book, so.
How do you know? Maybe he's working on one.
He should be.
He always said he wanted to. What does he do day to day?
I don't know.
What does he do when they're not touring? His kids are grown.
That's a good question.
What does he do?
Well, that's Jim Ed.
He won't know.
Of course he will. He was touring with him for years.
Well, we can't just ask Jim Ed a bunch of Don Henley questions.
That's true, but we can mix them in.
I got a million questions.
Well, maybe
we don't have to be on the show tomorrow. I'll handle it.
Okay, but I want to be at that part of the show. You can do Stroop.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to try to get to Bernie a little early. Hopefully he's ready for that. We might have to text him and say, Bernie, we're trying to get you now.
Do it.
Bernie is a Cardinals guy. He's worked in the media in St. Louis for a long time. The Cardinals begin a series tonight against Tampa Bay. They are hanging by a thread, in my opinion. We'll see what Bernie's opinion is. That's next. This is Bob and Jeff, KFH.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bob and Jeff Show.
We're getting to Bernie Miklas a little bit early. I appreciate you being flexible. Bernie, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Bob. Thanks for the invite, as always. Always a pleasure to chat with you.
I'm always happy to get you on.
Yeah, I was told I'd have to talk you off the ledge today, though. So anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. I had to get that joke in.
Well, I watched your new YouTube show, your debut today. Really enjoyed it. I watch everything you do or read everything you do. I'm a Cardinals fan through and through, and these are a little bit of troubled times. You went into it in pretty good detail on your YouTube show this morning. I'm finding it difficult to be as optimistic as some Cardinals fans are. I'm just not of the belief that this is going to be fixed by the current regime led by John Mozeliak. Am I off base?
No, I'm right there with you. My optimism level is not totally kaput, but it's getting close, you know. And as I mentioned, and thanks for mentioning the YouTube channel I have, you know, their next 30 games, they got 90% of them are against winning teams who also have a higher winning percentages in the Cardinals. So the point is, any chance they have of turning around this trend they're on, it's really, really a downtrend. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, they're going to have to do it over the next 30 games. I mean, they can't continue to kind of stumble around, or they'll be out of time, because I mean, that the 30 game stretch ends on September 8th. And so then you're down to the final 3 weeks or so. And they just can't close any ground on the Brewers, and they're slipping further behind in the wild card race. And, you know, offense is really down. It hadn't been good all year except in spurts. I mean, starting pitching starting to go sour. I think the bullpen's pretty good, but, you know, they're not as much strikeout and swing or miss stuff. So they got a lot of problems. I mean, this thing is not just like, well, they're in a little slump type thing. I think it goes deeper than that. I mean, you know, so I think it's going to be a really tough challenge for them. I mean, there was a time I felt pretty good about their chances, but they've kind of knocked that out of me. As it's been the same for you, they've knocked that out of you as well.
So, Bernie, I'm not a Cardinals fan. But as an outside,
he used to be, and then he deserted.
Yeah, 700 years ago. But as an outside observer, I look at, you know, Mason Wynn, Brendan Donovan, Alec Burleson, Jordan Walker, Ivan Herrera, Victor Scott, all these young players that they have either given extended looks to or kind of short circuited, and they made trades last year to get young pitching and other young position players. What's the problem with just going with these young players? It's not going to get much worse than it is now, so why not kind of rebuild a little bit on the fly?
Well, I've had that thought too, and I think it all depends on what happens after this season. You know, I think there's certainly a distinct possibility that John Mozeliak will, you know, step down. I mean, he's dropped some hints that longtime Mosaic observers such as myself can pick up on. I mean, they brought in Chaim Bloom as an advisor, and he did a wonderful job at Tampa Bay, and I think he got a raw deal in Boston. So I think he wants to get back to running a team, and his specialty is pitching, and that's been the Cardinals' downfall. They lost their ability to evaluate, draft, and develop pitchers, which used to be their strength. Now it's their weakness, and so it all depends. If there's a regime change after this season, you know, it really depends on how they look at it. I shouldn't assume it's going to be Chaim Bloom. If I had to bet $5 at the racetrack window, I'd bet on him. But it doesn't mean it'll happen. But I don't have a feel for if this is another bad year, it ends poorly. I don't have a feel for whether they'd want to go in that direction or not. But listen, you know, to your point, you know, Paul Goldschmidt, and I think the offense is still, pardon me, the offense is still the biggest problem on the team. And I know people get on Ollie Marmol, I get it, but I think it's kind of missing the target, because look, you take a manager and you put him in charge of a team, says so your team is your lineup, and you've got Nolan Arenado, you got you know, Paul Goldschmidt. You got a guy who had a really terrific rookie season last year in Jordan Walker, and you have a guy, Nolan Gorman, who last year slugged nearly 500 and got, you know, shown really good improvement. So let's fast forward to this year. I mean, you know, Arenado is suddenly looking very old at age 33. Goldie is old, and they're having career worst seasons. And then the two young guys you were going to build around, Gorman is like a ghost. I mean, he since like early June, he's hitting 157, and his strikeout rate's like 40%. He's turned into a ghost. Walker's still in Memphis, and he hasn't exactly tore it up down there. So when a huge part of your lineup, let's face it, that's like four big pieces in your lineup, and they all go bad, I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. So I think they could win again next season, but I think Bill DeWitt Jr. is going to have to be willing to spend more money. You know, they need more of an infusion, but it's just really tough to see all these guys go south that they were counting on. I'm sorry for the long answer.
It's okay. Well, that's what we love about you. Bernie Miklas, our guest, longtime media figure in the city of St. Louis. You can read his work at scoopsnetwork.com. as well as his new YouTube show. So you mentioned Goldschmidt and Arenado. I've read some things. I haven't really zoned in today. I've been kind of busy, but read some things that the Cardinals are considering negotiating something new with him. I don't know if that's factual or not. I don't know what I don't see why you would bring Paul Goldschmidt back for another run. I also am concerned about the decline of Nolan Arenado, who's just simply not the same player he was a year or two ago. So how do you resolve those issues if you're the Cardinals? They're still on the hook for a lot of money with Arenado.
I think they got to be really careful, to your point, about Goldschmidt. He's a class act. I think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. Much respect for him, but everybody gets old, except for you, Bob, and me. We don't get old. Everybody gets old, and they lose their fastball, so to speak. And, you know, Goldie's been – look, he was awful over the weekend, and he was up for, you know, the final three games against the Cubs. And he was bad again yesterday, really bad. He's been all right, but he's got to be better than all right. But, you know, in fairness to him, Father Time always wins, and he's just not the same hitter. His strikeout rate, and he looks at called strikes all the time, a lot of swings and misses. You know, I'd be very reluctant to bring him back. And Nolan Arenado, I think they're stuck with him. His contract runs through the end of 2027, although in 2027 it's not as expensive salary-wise as it is now, but you know, Cardinals fans, and God love them, I don't blame anybody for, like, making suggestions. But they'll, like, man, they need to trade Arenado. Well, who the hell's going to take that contract, you know? I mean, the other teams see what we see, which is there's a guy that's 33 who's suddenly playing as if he's a lot older. And his power is, you know, unless he can pull a mistake pitch, pull it right down the line, he doesn't hit for power anymore. I mean, the miles per hour off his bat is, like, unbelievably low. And, you know, I think his time as an elite player has passed. It's just a matter of can he just sort of at least do an average job? And I even question that. So it'd be easy to say trade him, but, you know, you'd have to talk the other side into taking on about $40, $50 million. I don't think they're going to do that. So with Goldie, if he walks or the Cardinals say, look, this has been great, but we have to move on. I mean, you can play Alec Burleson at first, and then you go out and you try to identify some other people that can help you in the lineup, and you either make a trade or two or sign a free agent or two. But Burleson actually plays first base better than he does in the outfield. So they have someone that he can plug in there. That's my point.
Bernie Miklas, our guest. So we're obviously here in Wichita. It's kind of Royals country mostly. Here in Wichita, Kansas, we've seen that franchise go from 56 wins to now being a serious contender in their division, certainly for a wild card spot. They're currently in position to get a wild card spot. They attacked this offseason with a vengeance. They spent money. They brought in people. They paid Bobby Witt an enormous sum of money because they recognize his abilities. He's a superstar already. Who knows what his ceiling is? And here are the Cardinals kind of, in my opinion, Bernie, maybe not penny pinching, but being very careful and working around the edges a lot. There's a big difference in what's going on right now in Kansas City and St. Louis. Is that noticed in St. Louis?
Oh, it does. When I was still doing my radio show, regular radio show, you know, I'd have some people texting us saying, you know, I'm becoming a Royals fan. I'm done with the Cardinals. I don't know if they were serious or not. But to your point, you know, their front office had to deal with the same kind of issues the Cardinals had to deal with. They had to find a way to put a pitching staff together on the fly. And they already had a couple, you know, pieces in place, as everybody there knows, Cole Reagans especially. But, you know, they went out and made some really smart moves with their starting rotation, you know, with Waka and Lugo, and I'm probably leaving somebody out. I mean, they went out and they targeted some guys and they hit on every one of them. And they also, you know, you look at, you know, they allow less than four runs per game. I mean, their run prevention is outstanding. And when you can do that, then whatever your offense does, you put less pressure on your offense to win the games for you. So they play really great baseball. I mean, I'm impressed by what they do. And I was telling Will Leach, my partner on the Seeing Red podcast, because he was sort of making fun of the Royals, which is okay. I mean, he was just being playful. But I said, you know, since 2014, the Royals they've got more pennants than the Cardinals, and they got a World Series title. The Cardinals don't. And they've won more postseason games than the Cardinals, so I wouldn't be making too much fun of the Royals.
Yeah, these are difficult times, certainly, as for those of us like me, Cardinals fans. You report on them, so you've got an interesting time reporting on this downturn in St. Louis. As Jeff kind of alluded to earlier, I'm becoming more of a proponent of, okay, you got Brendan Donovan, you got Alec Burleson, you got Mason Wynn, you got Wilson Contreras. You've got some guys at AAA, Jordan Walker included. He's picked it up a little bit down there. They just brought up Victor Scott, who I still have high hopes for. Tink Hentz looks like a guy. Thomas Segesi looks like he could be a pretty good player. They drafted J.J. Weatherholt with the seventh pick in the draft, one of the highest picks they've had in many years. It looks to me like it's almost screaming out for a little bit of a youth movement. Do they have the wherewithal to really pull that off, to really go that way?
I think they fear that. Well, listen, they have said this, Bill DeWitt III and Bill DeWitt Jr. They don't believe that St. Louis Cardinals fans like can stomach a long, painful rebuild. And I know what they're saying. I mean, because when I say we're spoiled, that's not a criticism, but they were so good for so long. It's just, kind of stunning to see them struggle the way they are. And, you know, I know it doesn't compare to some other markets where the team loses all the time, but that's the point. The standards here are very high, and one of the reasons the standards are really high is because the fans propel the engine. They buy tickets. They sell 3.2, 3.3 million every year. It's amazing for, you know, this market size. So the fans have done their job. They've held themselves to a high standard by supporting the team, and they've done it beautifully. There's more empty seats now, no shows, but I understand that too. And the Cardinals have had a competitive payroll. It's not like they're cheap. My problem with them is they don't spend their money wisely. They make a lot of bad investments. So when I'm just doing my show, and people say, well, DeWitt's cheap, and he needs to open up the wallet. He needs to do this. And I said, well, hold on a minute. I understand your frustration, but I don't want them to spend a lot of money because they screw it up when they try to. You know, so how many contracts have gone bad under this regime? And, you know, now you got Arenado's contract going bad. And, again, I don't blame them for making that trade, but I'm just saying it turned out to be riskier than we ever anticipated. So that's why whoever runs this front office, you know, you brought up the Royals, and the Royals are a good model. I mean, you don't have to make these huge monster moves that gets ESPN and gets Fox and gets, you know, everybody going nuts about how much they're spending. It isn't like the amount of money you spend. If you just have pinpoint targets and you know what you're doing, and you make some buys that would be considered, you know, high value for low dollar, you can turn this thing around pretty quickly. But they screw up spending money. And I get frustrated not only with the fact that they screw up spending money, terrible mistakes. I get frustrated that there's a lot of the fans, I don't know how many, but I hear from them, who want them to spend more money. And I'm like, well, you know, I wouldn't have much confidence in their decision makings on that, you know? So They're in between, you know, Bob. I think that's what's summing up. They're in between. They're not a horrible team. They're not an awful team. They're close to being a contending team. They're close to maybe being someone that can go up a little higher, but you got to make some strategical moves that would pay off. So I don't know. I kicked this around, this idea of a full-scale rebuild. I do. And I thought, it's like, here's my thing. If you keep putting it off and, you know, you keep missing the playoffs and your fans have sat through 3 or 4 years where you're kind of a 500 team, maybe a little bit above, a little bit below, well, that's the time you could have been rebuilding. You know, so in other words, if you're going to waste seasons and not get to the playoffs and not win in the playoffs, then why wouldn't you rebuild? You know, I think that's a legitimate question. You see what I mean?
Yep. Good stuff, Bernie, as always. I appreciate it. Thanks for indulging me. I need to talk to you occasionally, and this is like a session at the psychiatrist's office. Appreciate your time.
Anytime, man. Anytime, Bob. You know that. Don't be a stranger.
Right.
You can call me anytime. Thank you. See you.
Thank you, Bernie. Bernie Miklas, helping me out a little bit. Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com. Had the pleasure of meeting Anthony. I've watched him on Hot Stove and other MLB Network shows for a while now. Anthony, hello. Welcome.
Bob, thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure to meet you yesterday.
Yeah, how was your Bobby Witt Jr. interview? Was he forthcoming?
He was great. We've been working on this feature, and good timing because he's decided to stop making outs. But we've been working on the feature where we got to know his family a little bit. Everyone knows he's the son of Bobby Witt Sr., of course, but he's got three older sisters. So the three older sisters are where you go for the real story, the real dirt on Bobby Witt.
Yeah, when's the last time you saw a guy, and I'll get to our statue. I want to ask you about your experience here in Wichita, but when's the last time we've seen a guy just, he's been a good player his first 2 years, but he's exploded into a superstar. How common is that?
Yeah. It's uncommon. He's still pretty young. It's funny, and working on this feature, you go back and look, MLB Network, we happen to have cameras there on his draft night. And, I mean, you look at him, he looks like a little boy at that time. He still looks pretty young now, but it wasn't that long ago that you know, he was selected number two, and he's done amazing things here in Kansas City already. you know, he had an interesting rookie season a couple of years ago where, you know, he put up these nice round numbers, but he also struck out a lot, and there was some questions about his defense. And then last year, he put all of that to bed. You know, he was terrific last year. And then this year, it's just another stratosphere where, I mean, you're seeing an MVP-type player. If it weren't for some guy named Aaron Judge, it might be a very clear MVP case. And, you know, you talk to people around here, I mean, first true superstar, like nationally known type of guy since probably George Brett here in Kansas City. So it's just, as a small market guy myself, I'm from Cleveland. You know, I love that. I love to see a guy really assert himself, you know, and commit to a small market club the way Bobby Witt Jr. has, and to make good on it right away here with the way he's played and the way the team's played.
So, Anthony, this is Jeff. I'm Bob's son. So, what was the process? Obviously, once the story about the statue became national, it was everywhere and everybody heard about it.
Yeah.
But what was the process within Major League Baseball and you and the people who cover it of kind of building that relationship, deciding, you know, that League 42 was something worth investing in, and even, you know, coming to Wichita for the ceremony?
Yeah, I just think that story was so visceral, like so, I don't know, when you first heard about it, your thoughts immediately go to racism, you know, hate crime, and then you learn more, and it's sad in a different way, and, you know, it's such a heartbreaking thing to see that. I was at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum today, so I got to see the feet, you know, cut off, and just what a jarring, striking thing to see. And to know what Jackie Robinson represents, and furthermore, what that league represents in the city of Wichita. And I think what you guys are doing there, and it dovetails so nicely with MLB's efforts to grow the game in the Black community. And I think there's been a lot of lip service towards that through the decades, through the years. But I think you've seen some real movement now, more recently, with the MLB Developed Program. You know, reviving baseball in inner cities has been around for a long time, but I think MLB has really stepped up its efforts in the Black community. And, you know, what you've done there with League 42, it's unfortunate that it took this terrible thing to put the spotlight on it nationally, but it's spotlights on it nationally now. You know, it's great to see. And so I don't know, the inner workings with MLB, you know, I'm not party of that. I just know that it didn't take long for the owners to raise their hands and say, yeah, let's do this. Let's support this league and make sure this statue gets put back where it belongs and is secure. And hopefully that means good things for the league going forward.
Anthony Castrovince is our guest. You can read his work at MLB.com. He's got a really wonderful story about the statue yesterday. And we were all happy to see Anthony and everyone from MLB come out. So you were here, and so were CC Sabathia and others from Major League Baseball. And you mentioned that the directive is to try to get as many kids of color involved in this game. My fear as a longtime baseball guy is that baseball's priced itself out of many households. We see travel teams and so much importance played. Made in that. So finding these kinds of leagues is more and more difficult. We charge $30 to play in this league. We play in a facility that's close to the kids that play in the league. Why isn't that done more around the country, Anthony?
Great question. And Bob, talking to you yesterday, it sounds like it's something that you had discussed, you know, for years in your columns and your work. And then we're kind of challenged to go out and do it. And, you know, maybe it takes that, you know, and maybe people need to see that it can be done. I think you're a great example that it can be done. When you get the community engagement that you guys have down there in Wichita, I mean, there's a lot of communities that would kind of rally around that. And I would just say that, you know, we've seen a lot of growth in the game here of late. We're seeing youth participation numbers that are way more encouraging. We're seeing youth attendance, youth viewership, you know, all those things are trending up. And hopefully that puts baseball back on people's radar, and maybe in a way that it wasn't in the past. And, you know, baseball is a commitment financially, community-wise. You know, you got to have the fields to play. They have to be maintained. That's no small thing. The equipment, that's no small thing. So it takes real engagement. And, you know, it's going to be different everywhere in terms of what communities have the tolerance for that or the finances for that or what have you. But all I can say is, like, I view what you're doing there as a really wonderful example that it can be done. And when you put your nose to the grindstone, it actually can be done, and you can have good outcomes. And that's great to hear that, you know, it's a low bar for entry for kids there in Wichita. And, you know, I walked around those fields yesterday, and it's just a wonderful setup. You know, I know it's come a long way in a relatively short amount of time, and that's a credit to you.
So we have Anthony Kastrovitz with us. We just had Bernie Miklas. He's been in St. Louis a long time. I'm a Cardinals fan. That kind of helped me to talk through my pain with him. Jeff has a question for you, since you're a Cleveland guy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know you don't anymore. I don't know if you ever did, being in Cleveland, live and die with Indians/Guardians baseball, but I do. And you have the best record in baseball, but you're on a three-game losing streak, and it's the sky is falling, at least in my brain. It's Cleveland sports. I'm not in Cleveland. I've been several times, but it's just always waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's the experience of a Cleveland sports fan. Is that fair to say?
Oh, that's more than fair to say. And, you know, you just said you are on a three-game losing streak. I am not on a three-game losing streak. I have nothing to do with that. But when they win 22 in a row like they did in 2018, then you can say you. Then you can say that I am on a winning streak. I don't take any part of the losing streak. No, it's always it's Cleveland. It's the mentality. It'll never go away, you know, until or unless they win a World Series and a Super Bowl in the same year, I guess. But you know, the Cavs championship in 2016 did nothing to get rid of that natural bent towards disaster. And I've been waiting for the shoe to drop all season with this club. It's they catch the ball. They've got a good bullpen. And they put the ball in play, and those three ingredients have carried them a long way. How much further it can carry them, I don't know, because there's some real rotation iffiness that is starting to rear its ugly head in a meaningful way, I think. But they do have, Alex Cobb and Matthew Boyd are in the offing here pretty soon and going to be in the rotation, veteran guys that they hope can kind of
studs,
eat up some innings for them. And just they have to take the pressure off the bullpen. The bullpen's been one of, if not the best in baseball, but you know, it's tough to lean on it every single night. They got three rookies back there who have been dynamite for them in the bullpen. But, you know, it's a prickly thing to be bullpen reliant the way they are and rookie reliant the way they are. So so I'd love to see the rotation step up in a more meaningful way and get them some quality innings.
Anthony, we really appreciate your time. I hope you'll allow me to reach out to you in the future to talk Major League Baseball. We love talking baseball here on the show. Best of luck. We can't wait to read your Bobby Witt piece, and we certainly enjoyed your piece on League 42 and the unveiling of the Jackie Robinson statue. Thank you very much. It was great to meet you, and good luck.
It will be my pleasure to come on anytime, Bob, and thanks again for the hospitality yesterday. And yeah, just keep doing great work with League 42. It's really awesome to see.
Thank you, Anthony. Talk soon.
See you.
That's Anthony Kastrovitz from MLB.com. We give you a little dose of baseball here in hour number two. Both kind of getting on the couch for our respective guests.
Got to happen occasionally.
And I feel better having talked to Bernie. I hope Anthony gave you the answer you were looking for.
The only answer is to win. That's all there is. That's...
Well, we love winning, but it doesn't appear that the Cardinals are in store for much of that. And I'm not sure about the Guardians, Frank.
Best record in baseball. Isn't that weird?
There you go. Well, feel happy.
I don't.
As you watch the earth crumble. Thanks for listening, everyone. We appreciate it. We'll be back here tomorrow. We believe we have the three-man booth. So we hope you tune in. See you soon.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.